Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Well, good morning again here on Circles of Change, and always a pleasure to connect with my good friend Bruce Frankel, author of the book, What Should I Do with the Rest of My Life? He's based out in New York, New England area. How are you this morning, Bruce?
I'm great, Zara. How are you doing?
Terrific, and I am so excited about this subject. It is so appropriate since this weekend is my father's 88th birthday, and just 2 months ago, he finally decided to dissolve his solo practitioner consulting practice of some 40 years, based on also his years with General Electric Medical Systems before then. And a topic, of course, is that actually retirement can shorten your life if you're not careful, and staying active and engaged longer is more productive, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. That's what the studies are, various studies are showing. And first of all, congratulations to your dad.
You betcha.
That's an amazing work life he's had, career.
Well, the frightening part of it, though, is that means genetically I need to do the math, and I realize at age 57 I'm only 50% done with this career thing. So I've got a long way to go.
But that's good.
It is.
That's a great thing, actually. I mean, I think one of the things that we are seeing in these studies is how critical working longer is to health and productivity, but also that employers are benefiting, and there are lots of reasons. What brought this up was a study that was recently released by a researcher, Gary Bertless, who is the senior economics fellow at Brookings Institution. And what Bertless found, is that the perception is that, particularly among hiring managers, is that older workers are less productive than younger ones, and that as the population grows older, the big question is, will the aging workforce be less productive and drag the economy down?
And I got to tell you something, that any of us that have had the pleasure to be mentored and coached by more senior people and wise statesmen and experience over the years know that that's absolutely antithetical.
Yeah, and apparently there are many reasons why. One of the things that Bertless found is he was looking at, and his study was also funded by the Social Security Administration, so he's no slacker in this field. but one of the things that they found was that older workers now are much more well-educated than in the past.
In the past, right.
And so when we think about older workers, using an old image of them, we're really misguided. Workers today, and when he's speaking of older workers, he's speaking of people 60 to 64, and he's comparing them against people 25 to 59.
60 to 74, right? It's a 15-year,
yes,
60 to 74, 60, yeah.
60 to 74, correct. And comparing them to people 25 to 59. And he found that older male workers, earn about 22% more in 2011 than they did before, and women have increased their earnings by about 10% over what they earned 15 years earlier, and that none of the indicators of male productivity suggest that older workers are less productive than average male workers between the age of 25 and 59. So it's pretty amazing. Of course, we are having this boom in older workers, in part because people are living longer. More people are living into their later years. The average age is, I believe, up around 74 now, if I remember. But And that, of course, leads to greater workforce participation. I think now the figure is somewhere around one-third of the, I'm trying to remember now, one-third of the work of, one-third of all workers over 60, I can't quite remember, I'm going to, I'll find that statistic I'm trying to think of, blanking. But at any rate.
That they actually stay engaged, continue to aspire, are extremely innovative. And in fact, you and I even did a segment talking about older entrepreneurs that despite the flash and the hype of those in their 20s, that a few are well-deserved getting the recognition, that in general, the most successful entrepreneurial ventures these days are those being launched by people over 55.
Yeah, we did speak about that. And that was Vivek Wadhwa, who's at Duke and was a big CEO tech guy, has done those studies at Duke. And, you know, he found, as you remember, that twice as many founders of startups in tech, successful startups, are older than 50, and that more, and that they compare favorably both in success rates and in the number of startups.
So the opportunity here, Bruce, if again we focus on workers between the ages of 60 and 74, is that, you know, it just becomes evident to me, at least, that the wisdom, the experience, on the ground understanding of a given industry or given function is so vital. Plus, for those at that age, the opportunity for them to mentor and bring along a next generation and work perhaps at a different general pace, but every bit as productive and contributive to different organizations.
Yeah, that's, and lots of employers are expanding their mentoring programs to help older workers transfer skills to younger workers now, because they're recognizing this a little late, but they're recognizing it. And particularly they're recognizing that in occupations like manufacturing and those that have physical challenges, where age is beginning to creep up, they're beginning to find ways to help older workers, to maintain older workers while taking some of the physical demand off of them, because they want to keep their brains because of the experience that they possess and the knowledge that they possess. Of course, it's also important that older workers, by most studies, are far more engaged. Gallup study in 2011, I think, showed that the most engaged workers in the workforce are 65 and over. They're far more engaged than younger workers.
And we probably should explain that term engaged. That means that they're not just doing what the job description says, but that their discretionary brain cells, time, desire to reach across boundaries, etc., that's really what makes an engaged employee. And that sector, as you said and so cited in the Gallup survey, is absolutely shining.
Yeah, it's amazing, particularly when you consider that Gallup study showed that something on the order of 70% of American workers are not engaged. Actively disengaged, which is a shocking figure, because that means that a lot of people are really out to lunch when they're at work.
Well, and they're very unhappy, they're underutilized, and some have felt absolutely trapped, albeit perhaps very grateful to even have a job compared to those that have gone into almost the terminally unemployed. But the point being is that, particularly you and I have also talked, that with the demographic changes that are going to play out in the next 5 years, that there will be a race for talent, because eventually people are going to choose to retire and have the opportunity, and retire meaning here step out of conventional work. And it's going to leave some huge gaps and vacancies there for talent.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And, you know, there are people who worry that by older workers remaining in the workplace now, they're keeping younger workers from moving up and getting jobs that would make them happy and engaged. But but that's really going to change very rapidly. And others see that there's a benefit to having older workers now in the workplace who are so knowledgeable, because they can mentor, as you said. Older workers also tend to be much more loyal. And I think Vodka, I'm not sure if that's how you pronounce his name, at Duke, has also pointed to the benefit of older workers is their ability to implement strategy. Creativity may lean towards younger minds that are not as bound to older ideas, mm-hmm. particularly with occupations that are new age, as it were, as opposed to occupations that are more traditional. So they may be freer to feel freer to experiment. But when it comes to implementing, he suggests that older workers do tend to perform better.
Well, you know, we mentioned right at the onset of your remarks that one of the factors really driving the increased productivity of this segment of people between 60 and 74 is their educational attainment.
Yeah.
That you've got people with college education, advanced degrees, just a natural tendency to want to stay vibrant, intellectually stimulated, engaged, that they're driving up that data on productivity. Makes sense to me.
Yeah, it makes total sense to me, too. I mean, you know, when we think about these things, if we think in terms of our parents' generation, the number of people who had college degrees was far less. And they believed also they had a mindset that looked toward retirement at 60 or late at 65. Today, I think only about 25% of people believe they'll retire by age 65. That number was once much greater than that. Something around 70% of people once believe that. So there's also an expectation of working longer. And as you said, we said at the beginning too, the studies are showing that health seems very dependent upon employment.
Absolutely.
Not because of anything other than the stimulation, the social engagement, right. The feeling of worth, all of those things tend to support health.
As well as just daily activities.
And daily activities.
Just being up, moving around, being on a schedule, and even those that I've watched step into a successful reimagining phase of their life, not the stasis of the word retirement. You see them structure their days in ways almost as if they're still carrying their day timer. You know, it's still very much, and particularly looking for the opportunities to interact with other people.
Yeah, and that's important. As is, you know, from a cognitive standpoint, we know that the brain feeds on challenge. It wants to be challenged, and when people retire, they kind of spend more time in daydream state, and that tends to lower cognition, particularly if people lose a sense that they're just daydreaming and aren't aware of it. But when people are employed, engaged, and particularly in occupations that in any way challenge them and engage them, they're much more likely they're going to have the kind of cognitive activity that will stimulate the brain.
So our messages to our listeners today, of course, Bruce, is number one, for those of you who are leaders in organizations, to really look at that core group of your employees that are in that over 60 crowd and ask yourself if you're giving them sufficient runway at this phase of their careers as well to run and run hard and partner with others. And I would say for those who perhaps are out of work for whatever reason in the 60 to 74 age group, that now's your time. However, on the flip side, I know you work with a lot of individuals and colleagues in the Life Planning Network, right, Bruce, particularly Carrie Hannon, who talks a lot about how to get employed when you're in that more wise age, sage frame and time in your life. It isn't like just floating your resume like you did before, that coming into a new organization may require some very different things.
No, it's clear that if you're unemployed and over 55, that getting new work isn't as easy as it might once have been. And what's happened over the last several years has been very challenging for people who are unemployed coming back into the market. But Kerry and others have suggested that, you know, whether it's through volunteering or looking to nonprofits, nonprofit hiring looks like it's accelerating very quickly now. Mm-hmm. There are a number of good websites like Indeed.com. There are a couple that Idealist.com, where you Idealist is great. They are almost exclusively nonprofits, where you can find all kinds of nonprofits that are looking for employment. And Kerry would say, you know, it's fine if you take a position that isn't quite what you would want if you were starting. If you were transferring your skill, because what will happen very often is people will come into a nonprofit at a lower level, and people will quickly recognize
exactly
your ability and talent and skill. And also, there is a lot of turnover in nonprofits, so and nonprofits pay more than they used to. So there are a lot of advantages to it. Most of all, too, if you align the nonprofit that you choose with the purpose you'd like to serve in your life, you may have a richer work life than you ever had before.
Absolutely. There's a double win. And in fact, I would say some of that same advice applies to anyone stepping into an organization where it's, whether it's for-profit or nonprofit, is good people are always going to be needed. And in fact, they're needed even more as the challenges of increased productivity, faster speed of what we do, how we do, but it probably also comes back to your ability to change and be nimble and be flexible with new ideas. Sometimes, by the way, that's why shifting companies or shifting organizations cleans the slate, and you kind of have to get in that mode so you don't carry the heavy bags you had from before.
Yeah, I mean, that makes great sense to me, you know, particularly all the studies that I've read on keeping your mind fresh. You know, we know from the great nun study that was done that one of the most interesting factors in the nuns who continued to function at very high levels, this was a study done in Kentucky by a guy named Snowden, it showed that the nuns who had changed jobs more frequently tended to have longer, healthier mental lives, cognitive lives. And that doesn't surprise me, because if you're putting yourself into new challenges as your life goes on, you're going to have to learn to shift, to be nimble, as you say, to learn new information, to learn new skills, and you're going to be building new neural networks. And so it's also a win-win.
Absolutely. We've been speaking, by the way, to our friend Bruce Frankel, who joins us once a month. I want to remind our listeners, you can learn more about Bruce's work. He continues to edit, write, be published. It's Bruce Frankel, FRANKEL.net. His book, of course, that brought the two of us together some time ago now, right, Bruce, is What Should I Do With the Rest of My Life? And in that book, he spotlights specifically 12 individuals who went on to completely reinvent themselves after age 60, many times in the face of adversity, and that was based on your interviewing hundreds of people. So, Bruce, it seems to me that we circle back to some of these subjects that you had actually unpacked in the course of writing your that particular book, but also to see how much science and statistics now are backing up some of the things you otherwise qualitatively saw.
Yeah, no, it's been a lot of fun, actually. I mean, the truth is that so much of what I saw and could tell simply in a story, I've continued to discover science is beginning to back up, as you say, with statistics and studies. And really, ultimately, I think a lot of it's just common sense.
Yeah.
That, you know, work at what you love, follow your curiosities. People often ask me about what they should do with their lives. And in fact, I often say the first thing you should do, besides just kind of taking your temperature, but take your temperature in terms of what you are really interested in. If you kind of know what your curiosity is and what you're interested in, that's going to feed you. I mean, that's going to you know, you'll be able to become engaged in whatever you do.
You bet. Exactly. Then it leads you to continue to work as long as you can, end up reaping better pay, be more productive, live longer and more healthily. And as you, we both would say, makes sense to us, right?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense to me.
It is. Very good. Bruce, thank you so much. Have a great balance of the weekend.
You too. Be well.
Take care.
Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll-free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.